Macular Disease Foundation Australia is working to reduce the incidence and impact of macular disease, the leading cause of severe vision loss in Australia, through awareness, education, and by raising money to fund research into treatments and cures. I've been patron of the foundation since 2005. My connection is personal. My father was in his mid-80s when he lost his central vision to age-related macular degeneration. It changed his life. As a journalist, he always started his day reading the newspapers, and suddenly, this was no longer possible. A family history of the disease brings with it a high risk of AMD. My father's sister and brother also were diagnosed with the disease, but fortunately, my Uncle Gerald's eyesight has been saved with the help of breakthroughs in treatment for wet AMD. If only this had been around to help Dad. I know I have a 50% chance of getting AMD, so I support the health of my macula through diet and exercise. I get my macula checked and use an AMSLA grid regularly. So who cares for the carers? That's what we're going to explore next. Associate Professor Barmini Gobinath is an epidemiologist and the Principal Research Fellow at the Centre for Vision Research, Westmead Millennium Institute. She has a remarkable track record with more than 100 research publications in the last 5 years. She's the lead author on over 50% of these. The Macular Disease Foundation has twice awarded her the Blackmore's Dr. Paul Beaumont Research Fellowship. Barmini, tell us about your research, your project, Caring for Carers.
So this research project is aimed at trying to implement and evaluate a comprehensive support service program for family carers of people with AMD. And through this research, we're hoping that it would minimize the burden and distress that carers feel as a result of the AMD caregiving experience. So it's quite a novel project. Such a support service program isn't currently in existence. So we're partnering with MDFA and Carers New South Wales to try and implement this project.
You say that carers are hidden patients. What do you mean by that?
So we know that blindness and visual impairment can impact not only on the patient, but it also impacts on the loved one who's providing care to the person who has the condition. And we know that caring for a loved one who has vision loss can be burdensome, and it can put the carer at risk of poor health outcomes in the future. And caregivers are essentially hidden patients because they put themselves last and they put their loved ones first, and therefore their priorities has always been to look after their loved one and support their loved one.
So they neglect them. They neglect their health.
Essentially they neglect themselves. Yeah. They don't have time to go in for appointments and get themselves checked out.
I think I read somewhere that carers of people with AMD often don't go and get their eyes checked because they're too busy caring for the patient. They even neglect their eye health, which is extraordinary, given that they're there at the coalface.
Yes, absolutely. So I'm not sure exactly what the numbers are, but there is this research showing that they are more likely not to get their eye health check.
They're too busy.
Too busy, yeah. Mm. Too many commitments.
So why is the research important, do you think? Because carers just don't know how to look after themselves? Is that the purpose of all this?
Well, the research is important because we know that nearly 2 out of 3 informal carers aren't accessing existing support services that are provided by the Commonwealth government.
What sort of services are they?
So there's various services like respite, financial benefits that could be provided to carers, community sort of support groups that carers can access and attend. But we know these sort of services aren't being picked up by carers, informal carers, which highlights a strong misalignment within the service system. So as researchers, we recognise this and we realise that there is ample scope for improving the support that's available out there and getting the carers to recognise and realise that these support services are there and it's potentially available to them to help them cope with their caregiving duties.
But why don't they know about them? Does the specialist, their their loved one is saying not tell them? Does an optician not tell them? I mean, why are they ignorant?
It's probably a combination of many factors. So perhaps eye care practitioners aren't making these services known to the carers. It could also be, again, the fact that they are busy and therefore they might know about them, but they're just not accessing those support services. So our project was aimed at trying to make it easy for them to access this so they could do it from home rather than coming in for a face-to-face sort of group support service, for example. And we're running the counselling sessions via Carers New South Wales talk link session. So it's over, everything is over the phone. It's a 1 hour group counselling session facilitated by a counsellor. And in addition, we just mail out modules on various aspects to help them cope with the caregiving duties, like mindfulness, deep relaxation techniques. And we have a research staff that rings them up and follows up with each of the participants to see how they're going. And it's a form of support as well.
So how do you find them if the other people that are providing services don't find them?
So because it's a research project, we've been advertising it quite heavily through our private eye clinics and also through the MDFA. So they've been fantastic in getting us participants.
So you've got the volunteers.
Yeah, so we've got the volunteers helping us out, and we've got Carers New South Wales advertising it through their newsletters and their website. So that's sort of an active way of getting them to participate.
So if I was a carer for my dad, who probably for about 5 or 6 years when he was coming to the end of his life. If I'd rung in, what sort of counselling would you have given me?
So we don't give counselling like one-on-one over the phone. It is facilitated by Carers New South Wales. It's a group of 5 to 6 carers.
So it's a conference call of some sort.
It's a conference call.
So we're all there and we're letting it all hang out, aren't we?
Let it all out. But it's facilitated. So there is a structure, and it kind of complements what the modules that were mailed out to the participants. So if one session was on coping strategies or improving communication skills, then that particular group counselling session the following week would complement those modules. So it's not a one-on-one face phone call, but it is more about informing the carers about how best to cope. And then to allow them to have that opportunity to talk with other carers who are in that same situation as they are. And that's quite therapeutic for them.
I think it's always beneficial to be able to talk to somebody else who is a carer, because that's when you can actually be frank about something.
Mm.
You know, you can really say, I just find it impossible, whatever it might be.
Yeah.
And otherwise, as a carer, you tend to button it all up. You don't tell anyone that you're finding something a bit difficult because you feel you're letting down the side.
Yes. So actually the carers that have actually gone through the group counselling, they've actually come back to us and said, oh, I thought I was the only one who was feeling like this, but it's not true. You know, I've found various other members in my group also felt, you know, it's quite difficult for those eye appointments, finding time, transporting, and taking that time out of their day and their busy schedule to take their parent or their spouse for these doctor appointments. So, and they said, oh, I don't feel so guilty about feeling that way anymore, because I know other people have the same, they're in the same situation, and they do feel in a similar way to what I'm feeling.
And how long does your project have yet to run before you can draw some conclusions?
So at the moment, we are still recruiting for the project. So if anyone would like to participate, it's still open for recruitment. And hopefully we want to wrap up recruitment by the end of July, August. And the intervention will run for another 6 months. So hopefully early next year, we'll be able to get some initial findings on whether the intervention, the support service, was effective in improving the well-being of carers.
So if anyone just listening wants to join in the survey, you can find out about it by ringing the Macular Disease Foundation on 1-800-111-709. So what do you think the expected outcomes might be?
So we're hoping that this support service program will empower family carers of people with AMD to make the most of available sources of financial support and also social support, and also to improve their coping strategies and enhance feelings of self-efficacy. And of course, the ultimate aim of the project is to minimize the burden and distress that family carers might experience as a result of providing care and support to someone with AMD, and also to improve their overall well-being. So that's really the ultimate aim of this project.
So the whole purpose of the project is really to make life easier for the carer.
Correct. And for them to have ways to better cope with the caregiving duties, which can be quite burdensome at times.
What do you think the biggest challenge is for a carer of someone with AMD?
I think it's the time to go with them to the appointments. A lot of these patients, the patients that have enrolled in our study at least, go for monthly, bi-monthly injections. So the carers quite often accompany their family members to these appointments. That's one aspect. I think also in terms of just helping them out with their daily activities, like, you know, just cooking, some of the household chores, or just doing their finances, because of the vision loss, this prevents them from, you know, looking at these sort of things. So the carers do help out in a lot in those aspects.
Why did you get interested in eye health?
I got interested in eye health because I met a wonderful professor called Professor Paul Mitchell. Uh-huh. So he got me onto this whole area, and he's very passionate about what he does, and so it's very infectious. So when I first started, I came from a basic science background, so I wasn't from public health or epidemiology. So when I interviewed for the position to work with Paul, he got me so fired up about the whole epidemiology of AMD and diabetic retinopathy that I had to work with him, and I've loved every moment of working with him, and particularly working on the Blue Mountains Eye Study, which is a landmark eye study, and my work on that has been really interesting, and now we're seeing the benefits. So we're translating what we found, like the research evidence, into try and improve practice and policy, so that we have some sustainable impact for people who have AMD.
Of course, Professor Mitchell is the medical advisor to the foundation, so it's a very close family here today.
Yes, yes, that's right.
Well, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
If you or someone you love needs immediate assistance or support, call Lifeline on 131114. For further information about depression, contact Beyond Blue on 1300 224636, or www.beyondblue.org.au, or talk to your GP, local health professional, or someone you trust. For carer services and supports, you can connect with your local carers association on 1800 242 636. The views, information, or opinions expressed during the See My World podcast series are solely those of the individuals involved and do not necessarily represent those of Macular Disease Foundation Australia and its employees. If you have questions about the content of this podcast or about macular disease in general, please contact Macular Disease Foundation Australia on our national helpline, 1800 111 709. Macular Disease Foundation Australia provides free information and support services for people living with the full range of macular diseases, their families and carers. It is important to know your risk of macular disease, as early action can save sight. If you would like more disease information, diet and lifestyle advice to support a healthy macula, information on accessing government support and subsidies, or assistance with accessing low vision services, please call our national helpline on 1800 111 709. All MDFA services are free. Macular Disease Foundation Australia relies on the generosity of its donors and sponsors for funds to raise awareness of macular disease. provide information and support to the macular disease community, and fund Australian research into treatments and cures. Your support of MDFA will help our mission to reduce the incidence and impact of macular disease. To donate to MDFA-funded medical research, and to help MDFA provide support services to those impacted by macular disease, contact our national helpline on 1-800-111-709. Donations of $2 or more are tax deductible.